came to save us, we do know the answer, but we can't comprehend it. A God that would love us enough when we were in our sins and nothing beautiful about us, he could see us all cleaned up by the blood of the Lamb and send his Son. Thank God for that fact. Thank you so much, everyone, for all you did for me on my birthday, for the dinner and everything, although I won't have my birthday until Wednesday. And it's a new setting for me. I've never been 71. I've never quite reached that until Wednesday, and I don't know what it's like. I'll talk to some of you older people maybe and kind of get a feel for it, Brother Bobby, and see what's it like to be 71. In anticipation, I've already asked Brother Gunn. I said, Gunn, I've never been 71 before. Maybe you'd better preach Wednesday night for me. So Gunn has agreed to it. Turn everybody's please to the book of Psalms. Psalm 63. This morning we looked at the Shulamite woman in the Song of Solomon, the longing she had in her heart for her lover, for her spouse, for the one that had found her when she was a nobody, a slave. Not only did he find her, but he picked her up and cleaned her up and brought her into the palace of the king. Same thing he did for you and I. And we saw that verse of scripture, blow north wind, come to my garden. Then she closed out the verse, come to your garden as his. He was pleased to leave her in it. So God has given us all these riches. And tonight we're going to look at David as he longed for God. And the truth is that you and I should have that same longing for God that they had. And if you're saved by the grace of God, you have that longing in your heart, not only for his return, but for the companionship. So let's look tonight at the companionship, seeking his companionship. Now, we know that he desires to be with us and to bless us and give us all those things that we need more than we desire him. He's God. And if we can understand his desire, maybe it'll help us understand the desire we should have. Sometimes you have to go through a lonely place to have that desire. David found that. The Shulamite woman found that out when his presence seems far from you, although he wants to be near us. He desires to be near us, but sometimes we don't desire to be close to him. When things are going well, when it seems like there's no problems, no sickness, the bank account's about the best it's ever been, all those good things, we sometimes start thinking we've arrived when the truth is we haven't even got started yet. So he arranges situations for us. He arranged the situation for David. And now David is in the wilderness. Let's read the text together in the 63rd division of the Psalms, Psalms of David. He cries out to his God, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In the dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with the marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. So many things he knew here. But I want to speak to you tonight for a little while concerning a longing for his presence. He had remembered how things had been before. Oh, if you've ever experienced salvation, if you've ever experienced the touch of God, if you've ever experienced his grace in time of trouble, in time of sorrow, If you've ever experienced his companionship or knowing he heard you when you pray, knowing that he's told you everything's okay, I've arranged it, I have purpose, plan this event in your life, and so it's not strange to me, and I brought you here, and I'm here with you. If you've ever experienced that, and then perhaps you at times, like all of us do, go through those dry places, not on any special event, but sometimes it's just human life, other interests, not that you've sinned, not that you transgressed his commandments, but just that maybe your heart was longing for some worldly thing, whatever it is. But then you realize and you stop thinking and contemplating how pleasant it was when his surroundings was so close to you. That's David's position. And let's look about five different aspects here of that longing and that desire. First of all, if you have a longing, you have a desire. Let's look at David's desire for his God. He cried out to, oh God, he uses the word Elohim, the word to identify God in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God, the plural form of the fullness of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, the one that created everything, the one that spoke it into existence. That's the God I'm crying to, oh God. And then he continues in that verse with his desire, thou art my God. He uses the word here, El, in the singular form, the strong one. Not only were the creator God, the one that formed me, the one that knew me, the one that had predestinated me to be here upon the throne of a nation that wasn't even a world yet, that's who you are, and that's who I'm crying to. But you're my God, the strong one, the one that's able to deliver me again and fulfill the desires of my heart. I have a desire, God. You are my God. Let's continue reading this verse. Early will I seek thee, because he knows if God is sought after with the desires of your heart, he will be found. It's not like you have to wonder and worry that he will show up. If you desire him, and if you know who he is and what he's done for you, and you have that longing for him, you know that you know at his time, not yours, he will show up in your behalf. You know that. You know when he comes, all your problems will disappear. It doesn't mean that you won't still be hurting. It doesn't mean you still may not be sick, but his presence is sufficient. Oh, when he's with you. I found, as you found many times in my life, when he comes close by, when desires your heart for his peace, that he will speak sweet peace to you. And that peace, no matter, he may not lift you up out of the mire at that time, you still may have sorrow, you may have lost your loved ones, he doesn't bring them back, but you have his companionship. That's a desire that you know you can have with him, and you pray for it once again, because you know he is a strong one. Nothing impossible with him. Thou art my God, early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee. He was in the wilderness. He said, there's no water here. That's a physical thirst. But even though a physical thirst is bad, if you've ever been somewhere without a drink of water and you were thirsty, you know how awful that is. Well, the thirsty and the thirst of your soul for him is even much worse than that. When you're thirsting for him and it seems as though he's nowhere around, and you know that the longing of your heart can only be satisfied with his presence, with his touch, with his blessings, with his peace. You may have all the water physically you need to drink, but that won't satisfy the thirst. My soul thirsteth, longeth, is in desire for your presence, O God. And if you'll just come by and speak to me and talk to me, I know everything is going to be all right, just as it always has been. Didn't mean that God was going to immediately remove all of the pains and sorrows that David had. His son turned against him, and King Saul had tried to kill him, and his one of his sons raped his sister, his daughter. All these problems were there. But he said, if you'll come, my desire is for you. If you'll come, my soul is thirsting for you. And if your presence comes in my life, as it has been before, I won't thirst anymore, because I desire that presence, that sweet touch of your presence with me. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Not only is there a longing for him and spiritually, but he was actually thirsty too, because he was out there in the desert, in the wilderness, from time to time escaping, trying to escape his sorrows. Not only did he have a desire, but let's look what his delight was. Now, God knows his delight, but in verse 2, he tells us about the delight of his soul. I desire thee with all my soul, but now let's look what his delight was. Why does he want God to come so bad? Well, God knows, but he wants to tell God. And God wants you and I to have this same desire, this same delight. When he comes, what are we going to see? What will happen? He says, to see thy power and thy glory. As I have seen thee in the sanctuary, we at Fletcher, if you even wasn't here, God has done so much for us here. We long for that to happen again. Not just services that we can magnify his name and fall before him in worship. That's good. But when he comes in power, when he, God, comes, the strong one comes, and manifests his glory in their midst, we will see afresh in you his power and his glory. That will fulfill the longing in our soul. It will quench the thirst of our soul. Our desire will be met, and our heart's desire and our heart's delight will be to give him honor and glory and praise, just to witness and to see once again the greatness of his power, to see that power and that glory. As I have seen thee in the sanctuary, I will thank God for the times that he has manifested himself in my life and in the presence of us at this church, his church. We call it our church, but it's his church. And it's right to call it your church, because he has given us this opportunity. He allows us in his presence. And even though it belongs to him, he says that we can have possession of it. With the fact that we still long for him, our desire is for his presence, our delight will only be met and can be met when he comes and visits in his power and in his glory. And then we, again, will remember the former times. Oh, he could do it again. So many times he has come and manifest. The time that we were having communion, not all that long ago, and right in the midst of communion, all those souls were saved. Oh, God, do it again. And he could do it even more in the future. You see, God doesn't have to repeat himself. He's got so many things he could do. So we have this desire, and we'll have that delight in our souls when he manifests his presence. But thirdly, let's look at the next verse. He wants to have a description. His description. Let's read together in verse 3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. If you had to try to explain God to someone, or even to yourself, what would you say about him? Well, my desire is for him, my delight is for his presence. But then this is the description I would have of him. It's a pretty good description. I don't think I could come up with anything nearly that good. Thy loving kindness is better than life. We all enjoy living. We enjoy the blessings he gives us from day to day. Food to eat, fellowship, all the blessings, the many friends we have, on and on and on with the blessings he gives. But the greatest blessing of all is his loving kindness. David said it's better than life. Even though I'm out here, it seems my friends have forsaken me, and I've been driven out to this desert country, and there's no literal water and no sanctuary to worship God in. What if you and I lived in a foreign land or somewhere where we didn't have the house of God to come to on a weekly basis? Wouldn't it be awful? Well, David is that far and worse, because now the sanctuary is not there. He remembers the former times. He said, my description of you, God, is your loving kindness. When I was a nobody, I was a sheep herder for my father. And I love my father and I love my family. But I was just a ruddy little boy. That's what the scripture describes him as. But you came by. And I hadn't done anything except play on the harp and give you my whole life and adore you and desire you. But you came by and visited me and chose me from all my brothers to be the king of your nation, Israel. Your love and kindness toward me, and even when I sinned and transgressed and came short, you loved me and you forgave me and you drew me back. My description of you, God, is your loving kindness, your love for me, that you would die for me and you would choose me and save me. It's better than life. That's a pretty good description. I could never think of one better than that. But the Holy Spirit, of course, was the inspired one that inspired him to write all these things. And it was fitting that he would preserve it for you and I so we can read about it and enjoy and bask in it. My lips shall praise thee. Since your loving kindness and my delight is for you and my desire is for you to come, and I'll describe you as thus. If you'll come, I'll recognize your presence and I'll be so thankful for your loving kindness and I'll express it with my lips. I won't be closed lips about it. I'll raise my voice in song. May not be anybody around here to hear, but you'll hear from heaven the praise, adoration to you for loving me so much. Even in the midst of hurt, even in the midst of sorrow, he still had the delight and the desire and the description of his God. And he says, God, you've been good to me. None of you could dare say with authority or with any sincerity or with any truth that God hadn't been good to you. Many of us could write books about disappointments, discouragements, disillusionments, and all the difficulties you faced. Wouldn't do much good. Nobody'd want to read it. But when you start talking about God and how he loved you, and how he chose you, you don't dare say with one word in the vocabulary that God wasn't good to us. He's never been anything but good to me. His loving kindness in the midst of the storm, even though he sends the storms, but he's there in the midst to show us what a loving God he really is. Let's look fourthly at the four things. He wants to make a declaration. He wants to do some declaring. What does he do? In verse 4. Thus will I bless thee while I live. If he doesn't come, every one of us here is going to pass by the way of death. We will no longer be alive in this flesh. If we're saved, we'll be more alive than we've ever been, but we'll be with him. But while we're down here on this threshold, on this planet, on this earth, in this life, he said, I will praise you. I will bless thee while I have lips. None of us have an excuse not to. We can declare him to the lost and dying world. We can bless his name by telling others how good he is. Don't give them your sad stories, although you may have a lot to tell. They got enough of their own, I'll assure you. They don't need to listen to yours and mine. But they do need to know your declaration that I declare that God's been so good to me. I'll bless his name forevermore. And if you walk through valleys and sorrows, as all of us have and will, we have a God that can comfort us, that can draw us into himself, that will satisfy the longing in her heart and quench the thirst of her soul. No one else can do that but Jesus. Oh, David's having a good time here. Started out by saying, Lord, my God, oh, I love you, Father. Won't you manifest yourself to me? And his desire and his declaration, pretty soon God's with him. He's blessing his name. See, when you tell him you're going to bless him, that's blessed him because he loves the desire of your heart to to tell him, I'll bless your name, not only in word, but in deed. He continues in verse 4, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. He's going to see it. You're out there and you got a few soldiers perhaps. But you see it, God. I raise my hands to you. When we raise our hands in church or wherever you are, you're not raising for me to see or for someone else to see. No, no, no. We're raising our hands to him. Thank you, Lord, that you sought me, that you love me, that you put in me a desire to please you. That desire didn't come within yourself. It came from him. A desire, determination, a zeal in your soul to bless his name. And when you exercise that desire, when you are pleasing to him, it does bless his name. It does bring honor and praise and glory to him. For you're praising his name. You're not doing it for recognition. You're not doing it for any other reason except to declare to him, there is a victory in serving you. Thank you, Lord, for rescuing me, for every good and perfect gift you have given me. Number 5, look at his devotion. Oh, he is so devoted to Christ, so devoted to his God. Oh, God, my God. Verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. I will devote my life, whether I'm in the wilderness or in the sanctuary, it doesn't matter. I'm yours and you're mine. And I'll bless you and I'll praise you. My lips shall rejoice in you. I'll lift up my hands unto you. And I bless your name and I give you all the honor and glory. And just as the marrow and the bones, it gives you strength and the fatness. Your strength for me, your endurance, your loving kindness shown to me strengthens me. No wonder Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. We get weak down here physically, mentally, spiritually. But when we rejoice in the Lord and do as David is doing, declaring to others and have this devotion toward him, then he comes and strengthens us, gives us new assurance, gives us joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's what he does, and David is recognizing that. He is devoting his life for it, and because of it, he says, my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. It's a joy to come in the house of God. One of the saddest things I ever have heard in all my life is for someone in my past, and as I was growing up, to stand up and testify. It's a hard thing to serve the Lord. Well, David said it wasn't. David says, when I praise you, it's from joyful lips. Sounds to me like that would be a joy to praise the Lord. Didn't say you wouldn't suffer. But he says, when you suffer my name's sake, when others persecute you, as they will, and when others hurt you, expect it, and then just click your heels and thank him for allowing you to suffer in his name's sake. You see, we get down and out so easy. Someone didn't treat us right, didn't speak to us, didn't recognize all these things. And David could have written a book about that, but he chose not to. He said, I'll just write a book. He's still living, isn't it? The book that we have, because David wrote it, is unto the Lord, and God told him to write it. It still gives me courage to let me know that difficult times may be, and the sorrows and the heartaches and disappointments are going to come. They're going to happen. But there is joy in the Lord, and our lips ought to proclaim that. Our hearts ought to yearn for him, desire him. And when we do, he will show up, and we can bless his name again. We've got to hurry. Number 6, verse 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee the night watches. It's determination. There will be other nights. that thou be awake for whatever reason. He was in the night watch, no doubt, watching for the enemy to come. But I figured a long time ago, there's no use me setting up for that, because my God told us in his word, he neither slumbers nor sleeps. And I do wake up a lot. He wakes me a lot from my sleep. But when I do, I wake up with the word of God in my heart and the desire to hear from him. That's usually why he wakes me up tonight. It never has been to write gloom and doom and worry and fret and say, what's going to happen next? Never has been that. No, when he wakes me up, that's Father's thing for my mind. He says, the light of my soul and the deliverer of my soul will keep me through the night, and I'll meditate on thee in the night watch. I never have had a lot of problems going to sleep at night. I thank God for that. Others do, I realize. But the times I do have a little trouble going to sleep, I realize that's a blessing, that too. Because usually I have a hard time staying awake. I've got narcolepsy. Narcolepsy is a sleeping sickness that you just fall asleep talking or fall asleep driving or fall asleep doing anything. So my problem throughout my life has been staying awake. And then when I do lay in the bed and can't go to sleep, I delight in that. It's his touch on my life that said, I'm going to keep you awake so I can communicate with you. And so everything that happens to you is for a reason. And God is a wonderful God, and he has arranged your life. You got your problems, I got mine, but God has arranged it all. And in that, whatever they may be, that's how we can give him glory. So he's in the night watches. He was awake a lot too. In verse 7, because I have been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, my right hand upholdeth me. Thy right hand upholdeth me, but those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go down to the lower parts of the earth. He didn't have to worry about that either. You see, David didn't seem to, he started out by saying, God, I need you. And before the prayer got over, seems as though he didn't have a worry in the world. Did he still have enemies? Yeah, but he realized he didn't have to deal with them. We have enemies. The world's our enemy. Satan's our enemy. And there are a lot of people on two legs that are enemies. We know that. But the good news is you don't have to deal with it. He will. God will take care of those in his due time. So David says the enemies, they'll do what they want to, but I know the end result. And I know my end result. I'm going home to be with Jesus. Would you stand tonight? Your heads are bowed. We're going home when he comes. Until then, rejoice in him. Let your heart long for his presence. And when he shows up, you'll be quite different than you were before he showed up. Let's desire these blessings that God has given us in the past and still gives us day by day to strengthen us, to give us joy in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night, as the scripture says. But joy cometh in the morning. When's the morning coming? When he shows up. When he delivers us once again. Whatever the needs are in your heart and life. Brother Randy, would you come sing a song of invitation, whatever God puts on your heart? I don't know if you know that song. I have a longing in my heart to see the Lord. That would be a good one if it's in there. I'm not sure, but whatever. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed as we pray. Whatever your needs are in that. Maybe you don't have that longing David had in your heart. Maybe church is just ho-ho-hum. Maybe you don't even have a strong desire to go to church. Well, let's read your Bible and pray. Well, God can get you in the position where you would. Be better if you could just on your own ask help of him. Lord, get me in the position so I can desire you, and I'll delight in you. You'll deliver me once again. He's everything you need. Everything we need. Lord Jesus, we thank you and we bless you and praise you for this another occasion, opportunity to open up the word of God and to proclaim the goodness of God, the holiness of God. We love you so very much, and we thank you for everyone that came, for every heart, every ear that heard, and every heart that was touched. We love you, Father, and we thank you for this another opportunity to lift up our hands and lift up our voice with humility and humbleness, and say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, we love you so very much. Amen.
Let's try page number 517.
Be seated just for a minute. Let me talk about the